welcome to class number 3 of the Prosperity Game. What do you want to say about the last week? What have you been noticing about being selfish and abundance and manifesting?
This is Nancy. I'm so loving being selfish. I'm just loving it. It's showing up in all sorts of little ways. But the little ways are actually making me look at the larger ways, like in terms of what I demand for myself and issues of worthiness. You know, those issues of worthiness come up on a really grand scale in terms of my connection to self. Because a part of me, I realize that is going like, oh, well, you know, other people can really constantly be connected and feel that alignment, but not me, because why? I mean, really helped me look at my other little resistance around the things that I want, and it's kind of like, well, wait a minute. Hey, I'm part of this big flow. Why can't I be, you know, connected? And so it's been fabulous, and I'm just enjoying being really selfish in little and big ways.
Oh, that's great. You know, you have a common gremlin that everybody has, and even if it's not framed this way in our minds, it goes something like, why me? Or why not me? Like, that's the tone. And if you actually are able to notice in the moment that you have one of those gremlins, because, or how come, and why not, and it'll never happen to me, another way of twisting that around is, why not me?
Yeah.
Like, why not? Of course me. Why wouldn't it be me? And that's a great way of starting the what-if up game versus the questioning that leads us down. And there's another way to just reframe it. And it's an easier way to bridge the gap versus, oh, of course I can, let's go. Because sometimes we can't go from fizzling to sizzling, and we need a little in-between, and I think that's a good way to do it. Is there a logical reason why it wouldn't be me?
Well, yeah, and actually in asking that question then I just got pissed. It was really great. It was like, well, goddamn, yeah, me. You know, it's like, how could I have held myself apart from this? I mean, what is this about? And it was actually great to get angry about it. It's like, wait a minute, how have I been doing this? So,
that's perfect.
And that's a great transition for me. Anger always is.
Yeah, there's a lot of juice and passion and forward movement in anger. It works for me, too. Thank you.
Nancy, thank you. Okay.
Is there any other burning learnings or questions around being selfish over the past week or putting yourself first?
This is Mary. I want to thank you and Eva and everybody. Just it made such a difference to me. Your response has really shifted me, and I see what there is to do, and I'm in such a better place about that. So thank you, and it meant just a lot to have the group here. I knew I could say what there was to say, and I knew that people were just there for me, so really made a difference.
Thank you, and I want to acknowledge the whole group. I was talking to a potential participant for the Prosperity Game who may join us next week, and I was just telling her about all of you. This group is being really visible on email and very vulnerable, and asking lots of questions and saying the truth about what's up, whether it's exhilarating like joy, you know, I'm a 10-10-10, or like, hey, I'm having a really hard time and I need some support here. And I want to say the learning that comes out of that is profound, and I just want to acknowledge all of you for being so out there and open, and I hope it continues. So I want to kick it up a notch even more, because that's where the lasting change comes in. So thank you, guys. I think it creates a safe place and a safe environment to just catapult into something way bigger than we've ever known before.
Okay. I would like to just talk about quickly, I've already seen some of the Pure Pleasure Days that are coming out. The only thing I would ask of you all is, as you're creating your Pure Pleasure Days, we would like to know the dates. So please, Pure Pleasure Days are great to do, but we want you to set the dates, and we want them to happen before the end of our time together. So we're going to nail you to this one. This is a powerful, powerful part of the process, is these Pure Pleasure Days. And if you haven't thought of yours, you know, keep thinking, and keep, those that are doing it, keep sharing, because you're giving the rest of the group lots of great ideas. Also, I don't want to hear it here. I want to go on into the lesson, but I would be curious to know where each of you are in the daily prosperity game. Like, I've heard from some of you, but not necessarily all of you, and I'd like to kind of keep the momentum on that going as well via email. That's it.
Can I say one more thing real quick?
Well, okay.
Okay, thank you. All right. So Andrea wrote the question about where to buy fashion things, and thank you so much. It was so fun for me to go back and do that. And I ended up, I put up a display of some of my clothes, you know, and they're out now, the size 4s, and I'm so inspired. And I've dropped about half of one size.
Woo!
Wow.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Excellent, Mary.
Thank you.
Yeah, congratulations. That's awesome.
4, here I come.
One thing that we didn't talk about last week that I just want to mention in being selfish and using your outer team, part of putting yourself first, we forget that we have other people outside of us, and not just people in the physical world, but we also have a non-physical team, and we will address that for sure later. But it's like, you know, sometimes there's not anybody to take up the slack. Sometimes we have an assistant at work, but we don't have an assistant at home, or the person who could assist us is also really busy and trying to take care of themselves too. And you can ask the universe, say, hey, you know, I'm really needing some assistance with this, and I don't know how this is going to work out, but please drop the answer right in front of my face. I really need some assistance. So I just wanted to make a plug for it's not just you alone trying to, you know, make happen whatever you're trying to make happen in your life. You don't just have your support team here in the physical life, but you also have tons and tons of non-physical energy around you to assist at any time. And you don't even have to know what you're really, truly delegating to say, you know, hey, I need some assistance. It's not this tiny person in this big soup trying to get out. It's not that way, although sometimes it can kind of seem like that when we're frustrated. So, on with the lesson, paving your way to your dreams.
This particular lesson, I like it because it's chock full of different processes that you can start to use as you're moving through your day-to-day life. And the first one I'm going to let Gina speak to because she created it, and it's called the Universal Order Form.
This is particularly good when you just simply want something outside of your box or, darn, I don't know how to attract this. I really don't, except I just need to ask the universe for it because I don't know how to do it. I don't know if any of you saw Polar Express over the holidays, and if you didn't see it, at the North Pole is this huge workshop with all the elves making Christmas presents. It's like a whole city dedicated to bringing children toys for Christmas. Sometimes it's hard to imagine that behind the scenes, what we can't see out there, the universe is working its magic. I visualize it like that. You know, there's a whole workshop out there where they're all these teams are putting together your perfect thing that you've asked for, except you're not asking for it for Christmas, you're just asking for it because we're magnificent creators. That's why I created the Universal Order Form, is because sometimes we need to physically see something on paper. You have this in your workbook. It would be really fun to complete it and send it out to us as a team because they're really fun to look at. First of all, if it's not in front of you, it's okay. The first thing you're going to do is put a date on there. The date is today, and you are the customer. And the shipping date, I mean, think about this like a catalog order. You're faxing an order to a warehouse. When's the shipping date? When do you want it? You know how sometimes they'll ask you? I'm very much an expert in catalog orders. The normal shipping date is going to be 2 weeks out, or, hey, it's on back order. It'll be another month. And they'll usually ask, and if you'd like that, you know, in 2 to 3 days, you can pay an extra $10 or whatever it is. So you get to create the shipping date. Now, shipping date is this whole point of this order form is you're asking for something, and you're being specific about it. I just ordered a bunch of things from Victoria's Secret, and half of the stuff was on back order. They said, do you still want it? I said, yeah, I love it. It's not going to be shipped till March. Am I okay with that? Yes, I'll look forward to it. You know, I'll probably kind of forget that I ordered it, and then it'll show up, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, these pants, great. So sometimes we get a little fretful when things don't come on our particular indicated shipping date. It's okay. Consider it on back order. It's still coming. It's just that a lot of people wanted that same thing, so they have to make an extra order. It's much easier than thinking, oh, it's never going to come. It's coming, just on back order. The next thing to put down is, what is it that I'm wanting? What's the item? How many of them do I want? And the item can be as specific as you want. I suggest being very specific. If I call it Victoria's Secret and say, I want that new bootcut jean, and they'll say, okay, well, we have 5 of them. And we also have 10 different shades of denim. Which is it that you want? And by the way, what size are you? And what's your inseam? And what's your waist? And all that. We need to know a little bit of things so you get what you want. Otherwise, they're going to ship me something, and it's a pretty good chance it's not going to fit if I don't give them particulars. Location. Where do you want this to happen? That may or may not apply to whatever you're doing, but location, you can ask for it to be anywhere you want. What I will see is the next thing that you fill in. What I will see is when it happens, I'm going to be looking out through these eyes. What will I see? It might not be something tangible. Let's say you're putting something about relationship on here. It may be, I'll see my mate in front of me just smiling with pure love. That might be what you see. It might be, I see the most magnificent Porsche in front of me with every bell and whistle on it. That's what you'll see. Item description is where you get to be nitty-gritty. So let's go back to I want a Porsche. You get to put every single thing that you can imagine, small or big, as part of the item description. Or if you're feeling a little bit resistant when you're doing that, it makes it feel more out of your reach, go a little bit more general. Remember, this is still all about feeling. Feeling of the item is the next place on the order form. And the feeling of the item means, when I look at this, how does it feel? If I'm sitting in a new car, it feels luxurious. I can smell the leather. It just feels like I'm wrapped in joy and I'm ready for adventure. It can be the feeling of the item itself, or it can be how you feel. There's two categories there, feeling of the item and how I feel when I have this item. How will you feel means, I'm going to feel so confident because I'm going to have proof now that the universe delivers, or I'm going to feel exhilarated because I'm going to have my whole schedule open and I can do whatever I want. And then when you do this, I think it's important to either get it on paper and push send on in your computer, or you can send it to somebody or send it out in the mail to yourself, but to really get that full feeling, acting as if you really are submitting a universal order form. Questions?
Can you send an order form for a man?
Of course.
This is called the opposite of mail order bride. It's mail order groom.
Of course. The whole thing that's important, though, about any process that we give you where you're really honing your intentions about something and you're making it more real, is once you do the process, you just let it go because you're really considering this a done deal. You're not going to be sitting there wondering at the mailbox, like, you know how sometimes if you've ever ordered something that's for a gift, whether it's at Christmas, a birthday, or whatever, and you're waiting for it to get there on time, and every single day when you come home from work or during your day, you're looking for the mailman to see if it's here yet, and when it's not, you get a little bit ticked off. Consider it coming to you in the perfect timing. Even if what you think is your requested deadline, it doesn't show up, it's just really important to know that the universe knows the best timing. You haven't done anything wrong. There's nothing more you have to do. It is coming. And you have to trust, even if you think the world's crumbling around you, whenever it does show up, it is absolutely 100% perfect timing.
The next process is one of my favorites, which is the placemat process. The placemat process got its name when Jerry and Esther were waiting for their food orders in restaurants, and Esther was feeling really an overwhelm about all the things they had to do. So Abraham gave them this process. It's beautiful for when you're in overwhelm or if you've got a to-do list that will take you 20 lifetimes to get through and you're really wanting to just let all of this go. You take a piece of paper, you draw a line down the middle, and on the left-hand side of the page, this is your to-do list for the day. It's what you intend to do today. And I mean only what you absolutely know for sure, without a doubt, that you're going to do, and nothing more. So if you have 6 things that you want to get done today, and you really know that only 3 of those you are committed to making sure get done, then you only put those 3 on your list, on the left-hand piece of, side of this paper. On the right-hand side is the universe's to-do list. This is what you're going to delegate to the universe to handle for you. So everything except the 1 or 2 or 3 things whatever that number is that you absolutely will do today, you list on the universe's side of the placemat. That is anything you don't want to do, anything that you don't have time to do, anything you don't know how to do, anything that you just know you absolutely are not going to get to. It doesn't matter. The other thing is the only things you want to put on your side are things that you do want to do or it's going to feel better if you do them. So once you've done this, you have to literally let go and release the rest of the right-hand side of the page to the universe, knowing and expecting they will be handled in perfect timing. I use this all the time. Instantly, I can go from overwhelmed to feeling completely at peace when I do that. I really do trust that those things will get done in perfect timing, and they do. And it can look like this. It may be that tomorrow or the next day or the next day or a week from now, doesn't matter, you will be inspired to do one of the things that you had written on the universe's side of the placemat. So in essence, you will end up doing it yourself anyway. That's okay. The point is that you do it when you're ready to do it and you're not feeling heavy and burdensome and having this thing on the back of your mind, I still need to do this, I still need to do this, going on. You've released all of that, and when the time is right, the project or whatever it is will get done. Another way it will look is that something on the universe's side of the placemat will go away. The situations will change, something will change, and it's no longer needed anyway. It will just fall off the list. What a great thing that you didn't waste your time doing it when it wasn't going to be needed anyway. It can look like a call, like you really need to make a call, you really need to organize an event, you really need to get those airline reservations in, whatever the call might be about, and just allow it to sit until you feel inspired to do it, or let it happen itself, like the person that you've been wanting to call, you've been trying to, it's on the that you need to get in contact with, will call you. So you didn't have to go out for them. It could be putting on the right-hand side is getting my cabinets cleaned out. On a weekend where I had company looking for the coffee pot, by the time I pulled everything out of the cabinet to find the coffee pot, when I put everything back, everything in the cabinet was now cleaned out. It can happen like that, and it took 10 minutes. So something that I've been putting off forever and it was on the back of my mind got handled in a very nice way and in a very unexpected way in that it happened at a time that I actually had company of all times. Things happen like that. So here's a great place, too, by the way, if you're checking in and feeling like you're procrastinating, maybe it's not procrastination. Maybe it's just the timing's not right. It's another thing to put on the side of the universe is anything that you feel like, oh, I'm procrastinating, I should do this. You know, what's up with this? Why am I not making those calls? Don't worry about it. Put it on the universe's side and let the inspiration come or let it go away or let it handle itself.
This is an awesome exercise, by the way, in, first of all, delegating. It will teach you, like, you know what? What do I really want to do so that you can siphon through things and be real picky? The second piece is this going to absolutely have you practice really trusting that it's not about doing. It's really about allowing. There's only so much you can personally do, and if you're going to do anything, you might as well make it something that you actually enjoy doing it, and then the rest is handled for you. And so it's going to take some practice for some of you to just truly let go and go, are you kidding me? You guys don't understand. I have to do these 20 things today. It's like, I promise you, it will either become a moot point by the time you get to it or the universe will handle it, or when you do it, it's going to be so easy, you're going to get addicted to this process. For those of you that know and don't know, the Abraham calendar, it's a little desk calendar. It's my greatest thing on the planet. I love this thing. On one side, it's got quotes, and on the other side, it has the placemat process for every day. Here's how I do it. I just put five or six things on what do I intend to do today side, and then the right side is I put down things that I'm either delegating or I call them, you know, my wild hair intention, like what's something just really wild that could happen today. I tear it off, and then I carry it with me, and I put it in front of me wherever I'm at in the house that day. So I'm, like, real focused, and I know it's like anytime I trip out about what's being done or not done, I just look at my paper and I go, oh, that's all I really need to do in the world today. That's it. It's a great process to use all the time.
This is Patricia. I set up a place in my calendar to put all those things that I delegate to the universe so I don't have to write them again. I don't have to think about them, and then I go and highlight them when they happen. My goal is to have the page be very colorful.
That's great.
Something to remember is once you put this on the universal side of the placemat, you don't have to keep redoing the list. So I like what you're saying, Patricia. You get it somewhere, and now it's there. It's not like every day you have to recreate your list. The universe has the list. They're better than any of us and all of us put together as far as give them orders and they handle it. You don't have to keep reminding them. You don't have to keep going back. And like Patricia said, it is fun to go back and see what got handled. Really, really fun. It's kind of like, okay, true confession. You have your little to-do list, and the whole satisfaction is having the things get scratched off, right? And then you realize you did three things today that weren't on the list, so you put them on the list, and then you scratch them off. A sense of accomplishment, you know? Anyway, that's a great thing to do, too, is hang on to it, absolutely, and then just go back and check. You know, give it a week or a couple of weeks and go back and see what got done and how it got done. You'll start to strengthen this muscle the more you use it. When Jerry and Esther were flying to do all of their weekly seminars across the country, it was time for Esther to start to create all the airlines for the year at one time. And she had all it down, and she just needed to call the airlines. She wasn't doing it. Jerry kept saying, you know, we need to get those in because if you're going to get the discounts and that kind of thing, we need to do it ahead of time. And she said, I know, I'll do it. I'll do it tomorrow. Didn't do it. And she kept saying, I really need to do this. And she couldn't understand why is it that she can't just sit down for 1 minute and pick up the phone. One Sunday, they were reading the Sunday paper in the travel section, and every single one of their flights had a special on. So they got it much, much cheaper than they would have. She was at that moment inspired to pick up the phone, and they got every single flight they wanted, exactly what they wanted, didn't have to compromise anything, and they got it for cheaper than they would have had she picked up that phone a day earlier. So it's another way of just remembering if for some reason something's not happening and it doesn't make any sense why, there is a reason. So trusting that. These are the kinds of things you give to the universe. They're great orchestrators.
Now, I want to say something about why all these three processes are in today's lesson. It's about being proactive in your intending versus reactive. A lot of times what we're asking for is in reaction to something, which is totally fine. But why wait until we have some contrast in our life to intend for something greater? Pre-paving is about really laying it all out. It's kind of like if you were to have a wedding planner for an event or an event planner, you're saying, this is how I picture the room, and here's how I want the decorations, and here's the kind of food I want. The whole time before the event, you are getting more and more specific, so when the day finally comes, it's just everything you imagined and so much more. And that's what pre-paving is actually doing, is you are just setting the whole event up, whatever you're manifesting, whether it's a parking spot in front of the department store or your lifelong mate, you're really being in charge versus being reactive. It's much more powerful, and it's much more magical and fun than waiting until you get in a bind, because sometimes when you're in a bind, all you're focusing on is the reality and how hard it is, and it sucks, and when is it coming to me, and how come I'm waiting so long? So that's why pre-paving is important. It's much more fun to intend now when there's no resistance against it. So this can be an incredibly fun exercise. We have a great example in the book. It's actually from Mandy, who created this wonderful, fun names for her universal team. And the whole basis of this process is to really name and get specific about who your non-physical team is. And again, this is another little trick for your thinking intellectual mind to get wrapped around. I don't see anybody in front of me waiting at my beck and call to do whatever I want. It's like, I know, you got to make it up because they're behind the scenes. You can't see them. But you have lots of forces working for you, and our creative mind can grasp onto it if we actually call people by their name. So you get to make up your team. It's like you're the CEO of your life, and you get to make up your entire organization. What that might look like is I have a marketing maven, and she just goes out and knows how to do exactly whatever needs to happen to get me in the right spots at the right time for people to buy my products and services. I don't know how she's going to do it. That's her job. She's an expert in that. I just delegate it out. You can have somebody who is your vacation picker. They just pick the most amazing elements to every vacation that you could ever even imagine. They put all the people in the right places who you'd enjoy, even the people sitting next to you on the plane. And you delegate vacations off to this vacation planner. So you just go through every part of your life where you just wish there was someone who would handle those sort of details. And even if it's like a more like you have a creative muse. You know, I call Eva, she's my physical creative muse. And how about if I had one when Eva wasn't around or on the phone with me? Who's going to, like, just sit in front of me and download the ideas then? Okay, I have my creativity muse that I can name. We've been in meetings before where we're like, oh, we're going to delegate that out to our universal team. When we don't know how to do something, that's what we do. Or if we're, like, worried about, like, well, how do we do that? I don't know. We don't need to know.
By the way, writing these down and keeping them somewhere in a journal or somewhere that you will keep it like a living organism, this group of non-physical energy that you're now rounding up for your use. As you get new things that show up in your life, you can create new members, and you just add them to your list. You end up with these casts of thousands that are out there for you. Being in a place where you can come back, you can be refreshed about who you've got you're playing with, adding to it, and really using them. I mean, really using them. Putting it out there and getting out of your head and then letting the downloads or the inspiration come through to you. Or it will show up in some way physically.
This is Lori.
Yeah.
Hey, Lori. Just wanted to ask, Eva, when you were talking about our team members and picking a non-physical team member, what do you mean by that, by a non-physical team member?
In other
member?
Words, we have the whole universe on our side.
Uh-huh.
And the universe, this really stemmed from Napoleon Hill's mastermind that he would create.
Uh-huh.
And he would create this with the energies of people that he admired or that were highly successful. Whether they're living or dead, you can do that. But you can also make up your own name. So you're just personalized this placement process. You're personalizing this for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's just as real as all of us sitting here on this phone talking right now, only now you're going to personalize it a bit more. So it's having some fun with it, personalizing so it becomes even more real to you, and then speaking. Start talking to them and delegating to them and watch what shows up.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we do this is because it's easier sometimes for us to think it's more real if we put names and, you know, maybe even faces, but energy around something rather than saying, oh, God will take care of it or the universe will take care of it. It's like, well, to the human mind, what does that mean?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I like to look at it as all my angels. So we have our marketing angel and I have my relationship angel.
I think this is a great idea. You know, when you were talking about it, Eva, it was like all of a sudden it clicked in my head because I thought business-wise, I'm very in control of what I'm doing. So I'm clear, I'm focused, things come to mind as they should. But in my personal life, I've got a split personality going on here.
This is a place to play then and create the team
for
you.
Because as soon as you said it, be your own CEO, I'm like, oh, duh.
Gina, yeah.
You know, yeah, Gina, both of you, it was like, yeah, why can't I see my own life that way, because then I would handle it better, much better.
They never go wrong. That's the great thing about this team.
Yeah.
Yep. It's a great idea. I love it. I'm going to be looking for pictures of them, too.
All right.
Maybe paint some of them.
Ooh, better. Even better.
That is fabulous. The discovery part of today's homework over the next week is to take two inspired actions towards your pure pleasure day. Now, some of you, I know, I think it was Nancy, it was you who just wanted to leave your whole day open. So there may not be any more inspired actions to take around it. But if there is some things to put in place, make sure that they're inspired. And if you need help with this, email us and say, hey, I need ideas. And if you're still pondering, like, what the heck am I going to do with my pure pleasure day? I have no idea. You know, let us know that, too. I mean, we're absolutely here for you. Remember, it's about being selfish. You can't hog up too much space in this class. So ask for what you need from us, from the rest of the team, and your universal dream team.
What did you say? You can't what?
You can't hog up too much room.
I thought Eva was from the South. I didn't know you were, too.
Did we talk about delegating 10 things to the universe?
Nope.
Okay. Good. Well, that's, this is my part of the homework. And this is where I want you to use the placemat process in a very big way. I want you all to come up with 10 things that you're absolutely willing to delegate to the universe this week. So we're going to get you really used to this muscle. And writing those 10 things down, these are the things that you're delegating out. These are the things that you are not going to put your focus on. You're saying no to these 10 things, whether it's delegating them, dropping them completely, letting them go for another day. I don't care what it looks like. But now what that does is opening up extra space for yourself. And my question to you is, as you give up these 10 things, what are you now saying yes to? You've got freed up energy. You've got energy that's maybe being drained on these things. It may not even feel like an energy drain. It's kind of like a lot of these things will be like white noise in the background. You don't even realize there's noise until the noise stops. That gives you more energy. That creates a whole new vortex from which you can launch new things, new desires, new creations, or just new place to be. So the request is to share with us what 10 things you're saying no to and what is that opening up a vortex to saying yes to. Okay.
Okay.
Questions, coaching, issues.
Yep, Alan.
I'm wanting to find more resources on, how can I put it, on the issue of earning and sort of deserving and worthiness. I've done a few searches on the Abraham website. Because I really want to get that really solid, good sense of that allowing is the same as earning. Instead of you have to earn it, now I realize I have to allow it. I want to, you know how they say lock onto it?
Mm-hmm.
I want to just get that, because I look around and I say, well, everybody seems to have to earn it. Well, and that's not true. So I'm going back and forth with that. Because really what I want to do is, I love listening and studying to the Abraham stuff and doing stuff that's fun, working a little bit, and I want $50,000 in the bank within this next 12 weeks, and a new car, and unconditional love of myself. It just seems like a part of me is saying, how dare you ask for all that without doing anything for it? That's just not right. And I'm really willing to go past that. Not just past that, but something that's so far beyond that that I won't even look back.
Well, there's a couple things that come to my mind in the beginning of the class when we talked about what's your mode of operation and you chose a new one, is to choose a new mode of operation that you can latch on to whenever that gremlin comes up.
Yeah.
At this point, a lot of our gremlins are a habit. It's not even that they're that strong anymore. We're just so used to listening to them. It's just kind of habit that we don't even realize we're doing it. So what would be your statement that's the truth about this issue?
I think that's what I'm going to come up with. I don't actually know what it is right now.
Okay.
I think there's essences of it that I'm coming up with, but I'm not really sure at this point.
Okay. I would like you to email that to the group when you get it, because I bet you a few of the people on the call would steal it too.
Yeah.
I'm also going to recommend something different than the Abraham stuff for you. I don't know if either of these are on tape. You said you like listening to them on tape. They're basic, and at the same time, this is what you're dealing with. One is Taming Your Gremlin, the book Taming Your Gremlin. It's a great book. It's funny. And it's in your face about really the voices that are in your head and how to tame them and how to make this really easy. Because it's not just this. We don't want to listen to that crap in our head and let that be making our choices. We want to be our inner being to be making the choices. It's like, how do you do that? How do you get unplugged from those constant merry-go-round of BS that's not true? That seems so convincing at the time. The other book in the same kind of way is called Soul Without Shame, and it's How Does the Judge Stop Winning? It's called A Guide to Liberating Yourself from the Judge Within. I'll send a link to both of those, but they're both really great books, and it's a different angle. Some of the stuff we got to pull apart, and it's hard to make the jump from, I believe, I know I'm worthy, bring it on.
Mm. So one thing I am using is, let's see, I'm kind of putting together how my new mode of operandi is. Every time I listen to an Abraham thing and I find something just like zings me, I'll pull it out of the CD and make a little audio clip of it. And the stuff that's getting to me is that deciding that there's nothing more important than my feeling good in this moment, and then being willing to reach for the feeling that feels the best.
If that's all you did, money would roll in.
Well, that's what I'm doing. That is the new habit that I am getting. And I feel like that is going to absolutely transform my life and the people around me by seeing that process. And I've had people say that they're just totally inspired by seeing what's going on with me. So is that kind of a core of what we're doing or what this is about? Because every once in a while I really get a zing of how powerful it is to be willing to feel that it's important to feel my best, and be willing to reach for the thought that feels the best in this moment. And as I build that habit and I use my emotional guidance system to do that, that to me seems like the core of everything I want.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the work right there. Everything that we talk about, everything that we teach, everything we coach around comes down to that one core thing. How does it feel? And it's all about feeling good, because in that place you're connected to source, and all the things that you want, you're in a place of receiving. That's it.
Yeah, it seems like that's the most powerful thing, that
mm-hmm.
by establishing that of listening to my emotional guidance system and then being willing to choose the feeling or thought that feels the best, that's sort of like the golden key or the, you know, the universal lock, unlocking.
It is.
Like, that's all you ever have to ask yourself. Does it feel better to do this, or does it feel better to do that? Does it feel better to do nothing right now, because I don't know what to do, and all my choices don't seem good, okay? Feels better to do nothing. You're just constantly asking yourself, how does it feel? How does it feel?
The thing that seems really powerful for me is, I was listening to something last night. Abraham was at one of the workshops saying, now, we don't expect that you will be able to find the most amazing feel good. It's just whatever is available that you can find. But I think it's my willingness to consider what feels best, because it just sort of trains me to see the possibilities all the time. That seems to be very, very powerful.
Amen. You got it.
It's a kind of a wild experience.
Yes, it is. Thanks.
Well, this is Pat. I just want to say some things about the prosperity game, the money thing.
Really?
I'm a little bit excited about this, because what's happening is I'm starting to actually purchase the things that are on my list. And they've been on my list, some of them, for a while. And I'm like, why haven't I done this before? But I don't know why that is anyway, but I'm doing them all at one time, which is kind of interesting. We're designing and going to build a greenhouse, and I'm going to have the infrared sauna delivered. And I'm taking down the trees that are in between the studio and the house that will make some more room for some other things. And I set up a Valentine's Day retreat somewhere. And I've got my trip to Seattle to go to the galleries that I want to go to. And so I'm actually scheduling getting that stuff done. And it's pretty exciting.
All right.
And then I had Christmas.
I'm telling you, we like it.
I'll tell you, Christmas was just a hoot. And we're going to do this every month on the 25th. And we have it scheduled in our calendar for the year. And it was so funny, because things occurred that I never even thought of. One of the kids had sent us this Christmas breakfast thing that we just, Canadian bacon and buckwheat pancakes and orange juice and all. So I said, well, hell, this is the day to do this, right? And the Christmas carols, and we went shopping, and we went to our favorite Japanese restaurant, which still has the Christmas tree up.
Oh, man.
It was just a wild day, and that's one of the reasons that today is so wild, because I have all of these things that are now they're moving. I mean, I have people climbing all over my house and cutting trees and doing things, and it's amazing.
Well, I think having a day of Christmas every month is just brilliant.
And
brilliant,
I also wrote it
brilliant.
I wrote it in the Big Wish book, so that, you know, that kind of broke the ice there. I noticed that I was kind of like not wanting to write, and when I got propelled into the actual doing of the day and whatever, then that really gave me the energy to sit down and write it. So
tell us about your Big Wish book. I've seen that, and somehow it didn't register, but, like, I really don't know what you're talking about.
Well, what I'm talking about is, in Eva's book, she refers back to when we were kids, we had these Big Wish books that you had puzzles and games and stuff in, and she mentions that we should have something like that for adults. And I said to myself, well, my husband and I have developed all these different kinds of ways of being about different things that are, to some people, kind of normal, like Christmas doesn't look like Christmas for us. We've adjusted it and changed it and made it different every year, basically. So I've written all of that up. We do a day trip a week. It's all these different things that we do that really keep our life kind of moving and exciting and not anything like one day looks like the next. And some of it comes from the fact that we don't have jobs, and so in order to structure life, if you're going to structure life, rather than just get up every day and go, oh, God, another day, we make things exciting and develop things that are going to be fun for us. Plus, it also has my financial freedom strategy and setup in it. So it's been something I've wanted to do, but I didn't know I wanted to do it until I read it in Eva's book, The Suggestion of a Big Wish Book for Adults. And so it's suggestions, but it's also processes and things that people could design their own in that arena, but they're like suggestions of things that we are doing and how we got there.
Highly creative.
Got it.
It's fun. It's so much fun. And what I'm doing, I really love, is I'm kind of like, I have the chapters, I have like 45 chapters. And what I'm doing is I'm writing them as they occur in my life as opposed to going, oh, God, I've got to do that. When Valentine's Day comes up, it'll be the time to write the Valentine's Day chapter. And Christmas is going to be with us apparently all year this year. Well, I'm working with Judy with setting up a structure on the financial freedom part that I can translate to other people because I only know it for myself. I don't know how it would live with somebody else. So like that.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, have a great, great week using the processes, letting go of 10 things, figuring out what you're now saying yes to, and we'll be talking to you on email.
Okay.
Bye. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.